tell you, I have no idea, hundreds of things that God has changed me in. I used to be a rebellious man, about as rebellious as they came. And there's no rebellion left in me. But He received me the whole time I was rebellious. He walked with me. He loved me. He cared for me. He put up with all my idiosyncrasies. But day upon day, week upon week, month after month, He just worked that stuff out of me by His loving hand. And He will do the same thing in your life. But He has called us to walk away from those things. A Christian is a person whose sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. However, make no mistake about it, Jesus will confront the sin in your life and require you to leave that life of sin. I was dealing with a dear sister down in Houston. She called me when I was in Ecuador, and she had a personal faith crisis. And out of my desire to help her, I took in what she said. She'd been walking with God maybe 15 years. And I took it deep in my heart, and I said, "Sister, I've got to meditate on this, and I'll get back with you in a week or so when I get back from Ecuador." And so I meditated on a long time, and it was a crisis of faith for her about tithing. She had tithed always, but now she came to a place where I can't tithe anymore, and she needed some help. So I prayed on this. I meditated on it for a long time, and then I gave her my response. We talked on the telephone, and she thanked me, and she said that was the cleanest thing, the best thing that she could have ever heard. But unbeknownst to me, that was the beginning of the shipwreck of her faith. I'm not saying God's not going to restore her. That's not at all what I'm saying. But currently, I talked to her this last weekend, and she's cast her faith aside. The enemy comes in to rob, kill, and destroy. And he's always trying to get you to compromise your faith. So in her case, I did not realize this, but she had all of a sudden put her faith in other things other than the Lord. Because when you willingly tithe, your confidence is fully in the Lord. But you're doing it from a heart of willingness. You know, if God hadn't worked that in your heart, don't worry about that. Set it aside. God will deal with you on those things later. But in her life, when she pulled that out and she had been walking in it so long, it was the beginning of a domino effect. And all of a sudden, her faith grew cold. And she no longer spends time in the Word. And her faith has waned. Faith is not dead, it is alive. If you have faith, it will be proven by your works. You will have a changed life. You will act differently. Behold, all things have become new. You will no longer act like a sinner. You will act like an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For He has loved you and He's called you into a life of faith. If your faith wanes, then you will revert back to your old lifestyle. You will fall into sin, because sin is at your door and it will overtake you. So put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He's the one that has loved you. He's the one that has forgiven you. He's the one that has separated you from life and death. He's the one that has forgiven you of your sins. Meditate on the Word of God, and it'll give you life. It will give life to your mortal body. That which was dead will become alive. That which was lost will become saved. That which was deformed in your life will be made whole. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." So then how do we overcome sin and addictions in our life? The message is heard through the Word of Christ. I'm going to present to you today how you overcome sin. Because many of us have approached it from the wrong angle. And so we want to approach it from the right angle. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:25. This scripture verse is usually taught on strictly husbands and dealing with their wives and how to love them and care for them. That's not how I'm using this message today. I'm using it as for the individual believer, each one of us. So please have an ear to hear. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, without wrinkle or without any blemish, but holy and blameless. So according to that scripture, how do you make yourself holy? That's a question. I'm sorry? By the word. By the washing of the water of the word. So that's an interesting concept. You can fight and you can struggle with sin, but he says here, you make yourself holy by the washing in the word. Hallelujah. How do you present yourself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless? According to that scripture we just read. Verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So how do you make yourself without stain, wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless before the Lord? Thank you. By the word. By the word. Hallelujah. John 15:7 is one of my very favorite scriptures of all times. I've been meditating on this off and on close to 2 years now. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So what does that mean, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you decide what is right and wrong. Our own personal beliefs and our own personal doctrines can cause us much grief. As a child of God, one that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have given up our right to form our own opinions. And technically, you really need to take that attitude. If you still retain that right, you need to lay that down and decide that God's ways are higher than my ways. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He knows best. It's just like having a little child that's 5 or 6 years old, and you know what's best for that little child. That little child does not have the capability of understanding what is right and wrong in their life to make them healthy and have a very fruitful and wonderful life and to protect them from harm. That little child does not have that capability. All they might see is that their daddy is taking things away from them that they want to do. They want to jump off the bed, jump on the bed, possibly break their neck. All those kinds of things. And we might say, no, you don't need to be doing that. You don't want to run in the street and play. You're going to get hit by a car. They don't have the capability to understand those things. Well, quite frankly, we don't have the capability of understanding all the spiritual implications when we decide that we know better than God. God is not trying to harm us in any way. He wants to protect us. He wants to guard us from harm. He wants to make us fruitful on the face of the earth. He wants us to thrive in Jesus' name. He wants his kingdom to advance on the face of the earth because he doesn't want you or your loved ones to go to hell. Because it is written, he desires that all men be saved. Is that not true? And how does he do that? What we talked about a while ago. You're the mouthpiece. You're the person who's sending that message forth. And so you want to make sure that the message that you are sending forth, the actions in your life, the things that you preach and teach, the things that you speak to other people as an ambassador of the King of Kings, they're pure and true. You don't want to be misinforming people and causing them unnecessary grief on down the road. it's not okay for you as a Christian to believe and act as though you know better than God and His Word. If you believe that God's Word needs improvement, such as, I'm going to go ahead and get down and dirty. Is that okay? The reason why I'm going to just add a little statement here is sometimes things aren't just crystal clear. And you need to sometimes just make them crystal clear. There's a show that my wife likes to watch. It's a hospital show. And they were teaching the people how to go present to somebody when their loved one has died. And they would go in there and they'd hem-haul around and they would imply, your loved one has died. And they said, no, no, no. You can't give them any false hope. You got to go right in there and say, I'm sorry to tell you that John Henry has passed away. You've got to make it crystal clear so they can start dealing with it effectively. You can't be, I don't know how to pronounce that word, ambiguous, how do you say that? I still can't pronounce it, but y'all got that word. You got me? I don't know why God called me to preach when I don't even know the English language. So consequently, that's why I want to be crystal clear. I don't want to leave any gray lines because there's a doctrine that's rising up all through America that is harming the church. And a lot of the people that are not versed in the Word of God and they don't spend time at the knee of the Father and they're constantly seeking God on interpreting the Word of God and teaching them and bringing them forth and causing them to overcome sin, those ones that are rising up, they're preaching a different gospel now and is going all through America. And, of course, if it goes through all America, it's eventually going to go through the whole earth. So I want to make it crystal clear on what I'm talking about right here. If you believe that God's Word needs improvement, such as it's okay to live a gay lifestyle, it's okay to cohabitate before marriage, it's okay to defame your bosses or cheat on your taxes, and you co-mingle that with your belief system with Christianity, then Jesus died unnecessarily. Why did He die? He died for your sins to call you out of what? He didn't die for your sins so you can continue to live in darkness. Are you hearing me? He died for your sins to call you out of darkness so you could sing the praises of Him who has delivered you. And you could present a gospel that there's hope to mankind, that they no longer have to live a sinful lifestyle. It doesn't mean that we'll never sin, but we are called to walk with one that is holy and righteous and without blemish. And He calls us to lay those sins down. He doesn't call us to say, it's okay, brother. You can go ahead and do that. It's okay. God loves you anyway. Well, they got part of the gospel, right? God does love you anyway. But it's not okay. He called us to separate ourselves. I deal with a lot of folks that have many, many issues in their life on a regular basis. And it always comes down to they're not walking in the Word. Back in the, it might have been the 80s, I don't remember, but a standard question we used to ask each other when we'd see, hadn't seen a brother or sister in a while, we'd go, are you walking in the Word? People don't say that anymore. But that was a really cool statement. Are you walking in the Word? Because there's an accountability to walking in the Word. You're not just doing whatever you want to do. Are you walking in the Word? Maybe we should bring that statement back. Hallelujah. Extreme grace. Well, we'll call it extreme apostasy. That's what it is. All right. Now listen to this. Jesus came full of grace and truth. What does that mean? It means the message did not change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He came with grace and truth. The message didn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament concerning sin. Are you hearing me? That part of the message did not change. Sin is still sin. It has to be paid for. A life of sin today is not okay. The difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament is that for the Christian, Jesus paid the price for our sin, past, present, and future. And that payment for sin is available to all that call upon His name. The Christian is called to leave the life of sin. If you believe anything different than that, you have believed a lying spirit. And you're in danger of espousing a different gospel. And that's an entirely different message. And if you want to make a little mental note to those of you that I might be testing or pushing you beyond your belief system, write down Galatians 1 and read Galatians 1. Spend some time meditating on that. Because that's a whole different message about preaching a different gospel. But there's good news. The good news is Jesus has given us power over sin. We do not have to live a sinful life. Sin does not have to be your master. Because when Jesus died for our sins, He also gave us power to overcome our sins. He washed us, He cleansed us, and He doesn't condemn us. He has given us power to overcome our sins. John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's a big part of the message. And that's why it is said that He came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous, the people that were already thought they were righteous in front of God. He came for the people who wanted to walk with God, but they knew that they were sinners. And He's saying, here I am. I didn't condemn you. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you power over sin. I will forgive you of your sin, and you can walk with Me, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A perfect example of that story is found in John chapter 8, verse 3 through 11. I'm going to turn there and read that. John chapter 8, 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn. He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him and sat down to teach them. The teacher of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman is caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the old ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are those that condemn you? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you." But then He said, "Now go and leave your life of sin." Jesus doesn't condemn us. That is what is so precious about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you currently are. It doesn't matter. But you've got to take the Roto-Rooter that plumbers use, and you've got to go into your heart, and you've got to call sin, sin. And you've got to understand that God wants it out of your life. He doesn't want you to live a sinful life. He's called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. He's not condemning you. He is saying, "I don't condemn you. None of your brothers and sisters are going to condemn you. But I've called you to leave your life of sin. I have called you to leave your life of sin." Why? Because that brings Me glory. It brings Me glory for you to walk on the face of the earth and show forth my praises so that people can see what God has done in your life. When people see a changed life, they are drawn to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't see a changed life, then they're not drawn. There's no hope for them either. I guarantee you, anybody that's dwelling in a life of sin would like to be free. But if they don't think freedom's available, they're just going to go ahead and stay there. But if you're living a sin-free life, if you've proven that you have changed in Christ Jesus, and you're giving glory to God, that you can be free. Hallelujah. John 15:17 again. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You might ask, how do I do that? John 6:56 addresses that. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. His flesh is the Word of God. Remember he said, the Word became flesh and dwelt a while among us. His flesh is the Word of God. We must be partakers of it on a regular basis, as if, as we partake of it and meditate on it, it will change us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. His blood was poured out to wash away our sins so that we could continue to come to our Father in our time of need. So the curse of the enemy has been broken in your life. The one that would sit there and accuse you to the brethren and to the angels in heaven, to God the Father, he will accuse you and say, you cannot walk with me because you've done this, that, or the other. But he came to silence the foe in the venture, because he says, neither do I condemn you. I paid the price for you to walk with God. If you've given your life to me, you can now crawl up in the lap of your Father in heaven, and you can ask for help in your time of need, and he will extend the scepter to you for you to come on in to the throne room of grace, and he will help you. He will help you in your time of need. But he will not say, it's okay to continue. Come on in and I'll help you. I'll help you overcome. You are my child. As a baseball coach, when I coached little league teams, and I did it for many years, I would look for every possible way to help a young man become better if he wanted to become better. I would go out of my way. I'd be just as every creative way. Well, the Father in heaven has access to all the intelligence in the universe. He knows how to set you free. And if you're captive in any type of sin, first you need to call it what it is. It is sin. As long as it's not sin to you, there's no way you're going to get free of it. As long as you're preaching it's not sin, you're not going to get free of it. You've got to call it what it is, that it is sin. And then come to the Father and he will help you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read this again. This is Ephesians chapter 5. My whole message is really tied up in this part of the scripture, verse 26. To make her holy, to make you holy, cleansing you by washing with the water through the word, and to present to Jesus a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, one of the things that I learned as a young man, in my house, my wife cooks and I clean. That's the way my house works. Every house works different. If your house works different, that's fine. I'm just telling you how my house works. She likes to cook. I can't stand a clean kitchen, so I clean the kitchen. It's just been, we've been doing it for years. It works great. Okay? My wife loves it. So it works real good. I'm man enough to say I love doing it. Why? Because I like a clean kitchen. All right, so here's the deal. When I was a young man, and I'd get these she used to fry a lot of food. I don't go for fried food much, but she used to fry a lot of food. And I'd get these stinking pots, and they had this baked on, fried on gunk. And I'd scrub them and scrub them and scrub them, and I couldn't get some of that stuff off. And I would use all my strength and all my might with steel wool pads and all sorts of things. And then I learned a sweet little secret. Drop that pot down in some hot soapy water and walk away. Come back 20 minutes later and shoop, it'd come right off. I went, oh my gosh, I'm free. Are you hearing me? Now listen to this. Walking away from sin is the same principle. Exactly. You can fight with your sin. You can gut it up within yourself. I'm gonna walk away from doing this. I'm going to do this. I can do it. I can do it. And you can fight and fight for years and years and years and years and not be successful. Or you can slip yourself down into the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and the precepts of the Word of God day and night. And then all of a sudden, He starts changing your heart. Because you've got to have a heart change. If you don't have a heart change, you can't be delivered. You'll always be sweating and grunting and trying to overcome. I can do this. I can do this. Remember Peter. Peter said, I can walk with you. It doesn't matter if everybody denies you. I won't deny you. And then he denied him. He went, oh my gosh, I can't do this without your help. You got to wash yourself in the Word. And that's what that scripture is talking about. It says, wash, making her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. The Word of God is what is going to sanctify you. But if you are not putting the Word of God in your heart, you don't have a chance. How does a young man keep his way pure? By meditating on the precepts of God, by hiding the Word of God in his heart. That's how you keep yourself pure. It's not by might, nor by power, says the Lord. It's by my Spirit. So this fight against sin is a lot easier than we think. If you want to have a heart change, you start meditating on the precepts of God, and he will set you free. Because he will change your want to in your life. You got to have your want to changed. If you want to walk with him, he will set you free. But you got to want to. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want to be holy in your sight. One of the most precious scriptures I learned when I was a very young man of God. Let's see if I can remember it. I think it's out of Matthew 6. I'll just turn there. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. How can a young man... No, that's not it. Give me just a second. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Pastor taught a whole series on those set of scriptures just a few weeks back. But that was my heart. And if you make that your heart before God, then just like Pastor was teaching, he creates that in you. That yearning to be righteous before God. Then you have this wonderful relationship with God. So there's four key components that I believe to overcome sin. First and foremost, you have to want to be clean. If you want to be clean, then you're going to come to the Father. In John chapter 3, it says that you'll come to the light. Instead of you loving darkness, you'll love light. You will come to him, and he will start setting you free. Secondly, the only way to clean the inside of the cup is to have a changed heart. It doesn't do any good to scrub and scrub and scrub and fight with all your might. It doesn't do any good. You got to have a changed heart. And God will change your heart. If you want to walk with Him, He's provided everything you need in Christ Jesus. So you put your faith in Him and you immerse yourself in the living Word of God. Because you see, brothers and sisters, the Word of God is life. It's life force. It gives life to your mortal bodies. It changes you from the inside out. It's not just words on a page. It is life itself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we're to eat that Word and meditate on that Word, and it will set you free. Thirdly, you do not change your heart by fighting against sin. And fourthly, you change your heart by meditating on the Word of God, and it will change you. So we find in Philippians chapter 2, verse 23, it's one of my favorite scriptures. You're going to hear me say that over and over. I got a lot of favorite scriptures. But this one was just marvelous to me because it took a lot of the fight out of me. Not that I was going to be lazy, but I knew that He would accomplish the task in my life, and I didn't have to fret about it anymore. And that is this: for it is God who works in you the will and to act according to fulfill His good purpose. That just made it so much easier for me. I didn't have to fight anymore. I didn't have to wonder, am I going to be able to leave this life of sin? Am I going to be able to walk an overcoming life? Am I going to be able to escape all these things that have hounded me? The answer to that is yes, I will, because I am His child, and He will change my heart. He will change my want to in my life. That is His responsibility as I walk with Him. The Apostle Paul made it an astounding statement. He said, I have confidence in the one that I put my faith in to see it through to the very end. He had confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus was able to protect that which would He started in His heart. And I have confidence for you and for me that He will in fact do that. You see, because He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you want to be a rebellious child, you can be a rebellious child. But have confidence in Him, and He'll work that rebellion out of you. He will do it. Why? Because He is the perfect Father. So put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the one that has loved you. He is the one that came to this earth to tell you, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to reach out my hand. I'm going to help you walk with God the Father. I'm going to forgive you of all your sins so that you can know the fullness of my grace, that you can come into my presence and be set free, so you can be the man or woman of God that I've called you to. Because I've called you to do many things on the face of this earth. And they're not things that are done in your flesh. They're things that are done by you believing the things that I speak to you, says the Lord. The things that I speak to you, they are life and they are health. And they will cause you to rise to a new level. And then you'll go forth with my glory and expound the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will actually do things for you that are beyond your human comprehensions. I even tell you this day, says the Lord, that I've put things down deep within your heart that you've allowed to lie dormant. You've thought these are beyond my ability. I don't call you to do things in your own ability. I call you to do things that are beyond your own ability. Because I'm the Lord of lords and the God of gods. And I'll call you forth and I'll send you places that you never dreamed possible. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your starting place is. The Lord would say, believe me. Believe the things that I speak to you. And I'll set you free. And I will cause you to be a mouthpiece around the world. If you will believe me, that's how the Lord feels about you. He will take the smallest of the small, the most despised, the most rejected, and He will exalt them to a higher place to where they can expound on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people will be born into God's kingdom. That's what He does. Isaiah 10:27. This is another scripture that's my favorite. In the day, their burden will be lifted from their shoulders, their yoke from their neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. Let me explain to you what that scripture is actually saying. It's talking about really meditating on the precepts of God. And you become so fat because you've meditated on a particular precept or particular word of God. You become so fat that whatever held you bondage in that area no longer has power over you, because now you receive the revelation of God, because it's been dwelling there, stewing in your heart for weeks, months, possibly. And then all of a sudden, just bam, you realize, oh my gosh, this is real for my life. And you can just cast off that yoke of bondage that has held you back. It no longer has power over you. That's what it's talking about the fatness. You're so fat, you're so full of the precious word of God in a particular area that you can just cast off things that have held you back. Thank you, Jesus. By spending time in God's Word, meditating on God's Word, you start to believe that you are a man of God. And when you start to believe that you're a man of God, you start to lay aside sinful actions. Until you believe that you are the righteousness of God, you will not be able to throw off your sinful nature. See, God is the one who speaks all these wonderful things in our life. You're my child. You're my ambassador. You're my prince. You are a saint. Now, none of these things you may feel like. You're a king. You're a priest. Does the Bible not say all those things about us? You need to believe them. Because if you believe them and you meditate on those things, so God of the universe, the one that created everything, He's speaking these things into my life. That's what He says about me. And you go, you do this little introvert reflection into yourself and go, oh my gosh, no. No, it's not true. Well, He's the one that said it. And if He's the one that says it, and we believe it and start meditating on those things, you know what will happen? You will start acting accordingly. And then those things that have held you back will lose their power, and your desire to even mess with them, that's a big one, your desire to even mess with them will lose their ability to hold on to you, because you have now got the inside of your cup clean, because God has been scrubbing in there. And He's removing those things that don't bring Him glory. And He wants you to be that king and that priest, that ambassador for His kingdom, and He's called you. He's called you to sing His praises. He has called you to sing His praises. He's called you into His marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, faith comes by hearing, and that's why we preach. That's why you have a preacher man that gets up and preach. That's why we fellowship together. That's why we have this preaching once a week. But it's also out in the field, in the marketplace, when you're sharing your faith with one another. Faith comes by hearing. When you speak those kinds of words of faith to individual, it puts hope in their life. It plants little seeds in their heart that maybe this can be true for me. Maybe I can become the righteousness of God. Maybe I can go to heaven. Maybe there's hope for me. But you don't understand. I've done this and this and this and this. It doesn't matter. God loves you, and He does not condemn you. But He has called you to leave that lifestyle. And there's hope for you. You can leave that lifestyle. But if you as a believer are saying that lifestyle is okay, then you've compromised the message. Are you hearing me? So one of the things that I'm trying to stress today is we as a people of God, we want to perfect our message. We want our message to be clear and true. We want to emulate Jesus. Did I pronounce that word right? There's two words that are real close there. I got it right. Thank you, sister. We want to emulate the Lord Jesus. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And our brother said, you got this hyper grace. There's no truth with a hyper grace. But Jesus confronted their sin and said, this is sin, but I don't condemn you. Come on and you can walk with me. I'll set you free. You can be free. Talk to the tax collector, most despised people on the face of the earth at that time. They were known for stealing and cheating. Come on, you can walk with me. Zacchaeus and the little tree. Come on, you can walk with me. Nobody liked him. He was already the offscouring of the earth. The Jews had already rejected him. He had studied in seminary and they didn't find him worthy. But Jesus said, come on down, you can walk with me. And his heart was instantly, oh, I can walk with you. I'll give back everything. We've got to have a heart that wants to walk with him. And if you have a heart that wants to walk with him, nothing in all creation can stop you. Nothing. Because Jesus paid the price for you to have life eternal, for you to live an overcoming life in Christ Jesus. And you can, in fact, have a life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to put confidence in ourselves. We do have a part to play. But really, our part to play is kind of like the lirma. I love the lirmas on Madagascar, the ones that are up in the mountains. It gets real, real cold at night, and so they go in these caves. And then the next day, the sun comes out, and they go stand outside the cave, and they turn toward the sun, and they just get warm. They stand there like, it's the coolest thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture. That's so cool. That's how we are. So we've been in our cave. We've been beat up and bruised. We've temporarily sinned or, you know, denied him. Well, we come out of our cave. We turn toward him. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And he says, I don't condemn you. I'll restore you. I'll give you back your place. I will cleanse you up. But yes, it's time to walk away from your sin. And we know that Peter walked, he was at the time the greatest disciple of the 12. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years and he swore that he'd never deny him, but yet he did deny him. So put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in your flesh. Have no confidence in your flesh because your flesh will fail you. Put your confidence in him. Everything that is not of faith is sin. If you put your confidence in your finances, if you put your confidence in your spouse, if you put your confidence in your job, if you put your confidence in your children, it's all in the wrong place. Put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can set you free. He's the only one that calls you to walk free from sin and ungodliness. He's the only one that can set you in a high place so that you can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So we've talked about meditating on the precepts of God. And that's literally the key. Because it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's by my Spirit that you overcome these things. You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh by meditating on His precepts. That's how you do that. I think I said that scripture in reverse, but it's still the same exact principle. You overcome by meditating on the precepts of the Lord. So you want to follow the Word of God in your heart, and you want to meditate on the things of God. You walk in the Spirit. That's the scripture I'm looking for. You walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you're calling the lust of the flesh to be acceptable, you've got to get away from that. You've got to depart from that. Because Jesus came full of grace and truth. The truth is, sin is sin. The grace is, I forgive you, I don't condemn you, come and walk with me, but turn away from sin. Grace and truth, they go together, side by side. You've got to have that straight in your doctrine, in your mind, what you preach and what you teach. If you don't believe that, then you need to read the New Testament more and more and just really get engrossed in what he's really saying. 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And like the lerma that we talked about a minute ago, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory as being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. You are being transformed into the image of the Lord with ever-increasing glory. When you turn toward Him like the lermas do, when they turn and they come out of their caves and turn toward the sun. When you turn toward the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are being transformed into the image of His ever-increasing glory. You are like Moses when he came down the mountain. When you choose the things of God and you spend time in the presence of the living God, He changes you from glory to glory, and the light of the gospel protrudes from you. It goes forth. I was in a store in Houston, Texas, the day after Thanksgiving. And there was a man that was there, was highly convicted, simply because I was beside him. Highly convicted. I didn't do anything. I didn't do nothing. I was just standing there, and he was convicted. That's the power of the living God. I knew this sister that I walked with for years. She could walk in a convenience store, and all the convenience stores have the, they always have trouble with this word, pornography, pornography, there it is. They all have a pornography department, and all the good old boys are up there looking at all the magazines. She just walks in the store, doesn't even look their way, and they stand back. It's the glory of God on that woman. And as we look to the Lord, we are changed little by little with ever-increasing glory. And it's not our power. It's not our might. It's simply the glory of God resting upon you, bringing conviction to people on the face of the earth. And they need that. They need that. Because God desires that all men be saved. And if there's not a real testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of the earth, they're not going to get saved. They need to see a real testimony, and they need faith spoken to them. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we soak in God's presence. We begin to behold Him. And as we do, we become like Him, soaking in God's presence, enabling us to behold the Lord. We cannot do this and remain the same. We are changed from glory to glory and transformed to be more like Him. Now to Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to be all the glory and honor. Praise Him. Praise Him, because He is the one that called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. He called you into this relationship. And this relationship He's called you, He's provided everything you need. All He requires of us is that we keep turning toward Him. That's really the secret. We keep turning toward Him. If we stepped away, we just turn back to Him. He will heal us. He will forgive us. He doesn't condemn us. And He will restore us with a right standing with God the Father in heaven. And He will empower you and equip you to go forth in the name of Jesus. Keep the message pure. It's one of the things I want to plant in you. If that message is messed up in your heart and you want to talk to me about it, please pull me aside and talk to me about it. But the message needs to be clean. It needs to be correct. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Mm. Perhaps you're here today and you've never had a relationship with this God that I'm speaking about. And if that's true to you, and you've heard the message, or perhaps you've heard the message before, but it didn't tear at your heart the way it's tearing at your heart now, that would be the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because He has called you into a relationship with Him. He wants you to be free. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd ask that you raise your hand right now. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. Hallelujah. The next question I have, I've made some bold statements today about the kingdom of God, some statements that possibly have shook the foundation of some people's faith, but I believe it's the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody have your heads bowed, please. If this is you, you've heard this and it stirred something in your heart, I'm also going to ask that you raise your hand. Anybody here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I'm going to just speak for a few minutes while we have a prayerful attitude. Because, quite frankly, it's real easy in an environment like this to preach against sin. It's a whole lot harder when you're at a Thanksgiving table with all your relatives. And you love Johnny, but he's decided to be gay, and he says he's a Christian. That's when it gets tough. But you can love them and keep pointing them to Jesus. Just don't condemn them. So those are the things that are hard. When you have immoral lifestyles around you and they're professing Christians, that's when it gets hard, when the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So I'm speaking to you today to let those things rise up in your heart with confidence that Jesus came full of grace and truth. He spoke the truth of God, but He also did not condemn them and extended help for them, that they in fact could walk with God, but He did not condone their sin. So those are the things that we're talking about today. So I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but we're going to pray a prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord God, and just like it says in Isaiah, Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord God. We confess that Your ways are right and ours are wrong. We confess, Lord God, that You know what is best in our lives. And Father, I just ask that Your Spirit would go through the room and You would wash our hearts and our minds, Lord God. And Father, we would see the gospel for what it really is. That You didn't come in the New Testament and say, sin is finished with, we no longer have sin. No, but You came and You confronted sin and You didn't condemn. And You gave us a way to escape sin and to walk free from sin. We thank You for that, Lord God. And Father, I pray that that message would grow in us, Lord God. And as we read the Scriptures, that Your Holy Spirit would come to us and show us these things. And Father, we ask for a holy righteousness and boldness as we spend time with You. Okay, look at me, guys. Remember, one of the key secrets of overcoming sin is meditating on the Word of God. Because He changes you from glory to glory. He is the one that changes your heart. Just like that story I told about scrubbing a pot, you can scrub all day long, but if it's baked on, you're not going to get it off. But if you soak it down in the water, it becomes soft. And that's what you do. You soak yourself in the presence of God. You meditate on His precepts. And then all those things that have held you back captive, your life, it'll set you free. You'll be free. And if you stumble 2 weeks from now, you just start soaking again. Because the enemy would say, well, you can't come back. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. Because you can come back. So let's perfect our message. Okay? I love you guys. Thank you for bearing with me when I preached a tough message. I love you. Thank you very much. Go in peace.